Greetings from Huron Chapel, Evangelical Missionary Church in Auburn, Ontario, where we're only in step two of the roadmap to reopening and still masking and still can't sing in church. So I'm very envious of you all out here. Our scripture lesson this morning is from Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. Let's hear God's word. There are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word. Grant that none of these may apply to us, that your Holy Spirit be at work in us to change our character and change our habits in conformity with your plan for our lives. Lord, bless Davis by your Holy Spirit as he preaches now, and write in our hearts the things you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Good to be with you.
Thank you, Pastor Ernest. So today, we come to the end of our scathing sermon series that we've been calling What God Hates. So far, we have dealt with six abominable sins that God abhors and detests with passion. Haughty or lofty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are quick to run into mischief or evil, and a false witness who speaks lies. The seventh and last thing that God hates is one who sows discord among brethren. One who sows dissension, conflict, and division among brethren. This may be in any kind of setting. It may be in families, maybe in communities, churches, and society. Nowadays, through social media or traditional media, by disseminating misinformation and disinformation, as well as falsehoods, for selfish ambitions. That includes gossipers, false witnesses, and malicious slanderers who ruin other people's reputations and credibility, all done behind the veil of anonymity. As well as the toxic ideology that divides people along racial lines, cultural, religious, and political affiliations, the haves and have-nots, elites and non-elites, left and right, conservative and liberal. And you can add to that list. Our text, which Pastor Ernest read for us, is crystal clear. God hates these things. God hates one who stirs up and sows seeds of dissension or discord among brothers and sisters because it is an abomination to him. However, this seventh item in our series is the key to understanding the other six things that the Lord hates. One commentator says, what God hates about haughty eyes is that their arrogance sows, disseminates seeds of dissension among the brethren, meaning comrades, members, colleagues, associates, or associates, buddies, fellow Christians, congregation or flock, community of faith, and adherents. What God hates about a lying tongue is how its gossip and slander sow dissension, division, and conflict among brothers and sisters, or people of one family. What he hates about hands that shed innocent blood is that they sow seeds of dissension among brothers and sisters. What God hates about a heart that devises wicked schemes is that it sows dissension among brothers and sisters. What he hates about feet that are quick to rush into evil is that they sow dissension among brothers and sisters. What he hates about a false witness who pours out lies is that his or her lies sow dissension and division, conflict among brothers and sisters. Now, do you get the picture here? God hates all kinds of dissension with passion. He finds it detestable, despicable, repugnant, and abominable. And we also should hate what God hates. So you may be asking this morning and saying, what is dissension? Dissension can be anything that breaks up the unity of the body. In mind is anyone or anything that destroys harmony, unity, and fellowship by unleashing disagreements, discord, disunity, strife, contention, controversy, and false accusations among the brethren. And that includes slander. So, as a body of Christ, as a people that belong to God, we should avoid dissension. We should resist discord and push back. We should not only resist it, but we have to submit ourselves to God. And once we submit ourselves to God, God will help us to be united, to stand together as a people of one family. So we should avoid factions, disagreements, disharmony, disunity, strife, contention, and controversy, because God abhors them. He abhors this kind of behavior among his people also. He does not want anything like this in his body, his church, in his family, the family of God. He hates it because it breaks the heart of God when we backbite and devour one another behind our backs. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 to 16 says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? Who is my neighbor? Anybody created in the image of God is your neighbor. And love is a verb. It's a doing word. So if you claim to love someone, you should show kindness and show compassion, empathy to that person. And that means you are keeping this commandment in practice. Verse 15 says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Has somebody said something behind your back? How did you feel? Were you surprised it was that person that is very close to you? Was it your husband or your wife? Was it that sister in the Lord that you pray with every day, that you meet with for Bible study? That person you meet for coffee all the time and share heart to heart. Did they say something behind your back that stabbed you from behind? And were you surprised? You see, that's how Satan works. The moment you hear your brother, your sister said something behind your back, you build walls. You create a chasm, space. You don't pick up their phone when they call, their phone calls. You don't even respond to their emails. Now there's enmity between you and that brother or sister. And Satan is rejoicing. But God is sad. Because somebody planted a seed of dissension. Now, what does sowing dissension among brothers and sisters mean? What does it mean? To sow dissension is to set someone against someone else. To drive a wedge between people groups, communities, and individuals. To set at odds and do things that destroy one another, which results in arguments, fights, and church splits. Now, how can we recognize sowers of dissension? How can we recognize sowers of dissension? Sowers of dissension are subtle agitators presenting themselves as working for a good cause. They disseminate lies while pointing with their finger and winking with their eye, to persuade others to join them in their cause. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 12 to 15 says, the immediate preceding verses of our text say a worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger, with a perverted heart. He plans evil continually sowing discord. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he or she will be broken beyond remedy or beyond healing. What kind of seed produces dissension among brothers and sisters? So let me highlight just a few bad seeds. First, the bad seed of pride, arrogance, and haughty eyes produces dissension, discord among brothers and sisters. Someone once said, pride brings its own set of blinders. We can see arrogance in others just fine, and it tends our stomach, but we carefully rationalize and excuse our own. On the other hand, haughty eyes disdainfully despise others and their opinions. It shows an attitude of superiority and contempt for people or things perceived to be inferior. And arrogant people, they see everybody as inferior. Okay? Whereas arrogance insists that because you are better and therefore deserve better than others, everybody should agree with your narrative or your worldview. Because not everybody has the same worldview. Yours is just one opinion among many. But we must be willing to hear others as well, and not just impose your opinion. Because some proud people believe that their opinion deserves to be heard. And if it is not heard, they will make their discontent known by threatening to boycott the relationship, withdraw their membership and financial support from the fellowship or organization in order to control what is happening. In fact, in family settings, if you have a person who is opinionated, if you say no to the opinion, all hell breaks loose. And some of you are nodding your heads because you have an uncle. You have a grandparent, maybe a dad, a mom, a sister, a cousin. It's my way or the highway. God condemns these attitudes as conflict-ridden. Since I hope we realize that considering others better than ourselves nurtures unity in the body of Christ. But considering yourself better than others is counterproductive, fosters dissension, conflict, and apathy. Therefore, we should resist and desist from it. Second, selfishness, also known as meism or meism, egotism, or obsession with oneself, is a bad seed that produces dissension. This involves beliefs, ideologies, opinions, and obsession with a person's preferences and bias over others. Philippians chapter 2 verse 3 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." When we demand that our way of doing things must be honored at the expense of others, unity is threatened. Scripture says, "Consider others better than yourself." You heard it for yourself. Predominantly within the context of a church community, we must realize that we are better when we are united. We are one body in Christ. We belong to the same family. We are all born of God, children of the Most High God. And what we do together is ultimately done for building up of the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, and not the individual. Third, gossip is a bad seed. Gossip is a bad seed, a significant destroyer of unity and harmony. Solomon speaks of a dishonest man spreading strife and a whisperer separating close friends. The whisperers go about murmuring unhelpful and destructive things to those whom they think will sympathize and team up with them. Their gossip about partial truth and insinuations, which often makes them look like they care for the greater good of the kingdom. There may be times when envy, bitterness, and resentment cause a person to resort to sowing dissension. Sometimes a person may feel threatened by another and sow dissension to try to discredit the individual. But remember, saints, these acts are abominable before God, and we must resist them because we are not of this world. Because when I look around with politicians, for example, this is exactly what they do. They malign each other and destroy each other's credibility for a vote. It's called character assassination. The church also does some of that. Only that we are hidden behind the veil of religion. And we are so subtle that it's difficult to tell the intent of our hearts. Since these acts are abominable before God, and we must resist them. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. Solomon speaks of the one who repeats a matter rather than covering an offense, separating close friends. Proverbs 16:28 says, "A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends." Gossip separates brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if it happens in your family, it can happen to a church. Are you eager to broadcast the faults of others? Are you eager? So you could look good, like you're in the know. Do you feel compelled to share the failures and misfortunes of other people with anyone who will hear you or entertain your thoughts? Are you willing to love them or to love people enough to cover their faults? Because we all have faults here. We all have issues. Like, some of us may be saying that, no, I don't gossip. I don't backbite. But you know deep down in your heart that sometimes we do, even though we don't want to do it, sometimes we do. I have said some things that I thought afterwards, why did I say that? I shouldn't have said that. Why did I entertain that thought? I shouldn't, because that's character assassination. But sometimes I keep quiet and then realize that I was participating in somebody else's sin. Bible says, do not be a partaker of another man's sin. So we all have something to talk to God about after this sermon. It may be about your church family, your family at home, your employees. It may be about your friends. Talk to God about that. Now, here's another question. Do you guard the mistakes and secret struggles of other people? Or do you want to see their every fault and shortcoming laid bare for all the world to see? Instead of sowing discord, we must strive to promote unity. Beloved, let us work together. Psalm 133 verse 1 and 3 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. For there the Lord bestows his blessing and even life forevermore. Now, sowers of discord sow the seeds of bitterness, anger, distrust, and hatred into the ground of other people's hearts. These actions do not come from the Spirit of God, but the deceiver, the devil. Because he was a liar from the very beginning. And when he lies, he speaks his native tongue. Such divisive behavior is included in what the Scripture calls the works of the flesh. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Excuse me. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy are all works of the flesh and should not be named among us now that we belong to Christ, because we belong to the light and not the darkness. One pastor says, sowers of dissension are usually driven by their interests in relentless sin. Sowers of dissension exploit the passion, emotion of others, and more often than not, derive pleasure from conflict, because now they are in control, destroying the mission of the church. One blogger says, instead of pulling God's people together, they divide the flock. They project their angry, hostile behaviors onto people in the congregation, and especially on the leaders. Beloved, we must always guard our hearts, because from it comes the issues of life. In fact, Scripture offers a clear counsel on how to avoid becoming one who sows dissension. First, we are warned to avoid those who are contentious, argumentative, and quarrelsome. Be careful what seed they are planting in your heart. Paul says in Romans chapter 16, verse 17 to 18, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Paul also taught Titus to reject those who were contentious. Titus chapter 3, verse 9 to 11. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him, knowing that such a person is warped, sinful, he is self-condemned. Second, we are warned to avoid things that tend to divide us. Paul taught Timothy to avoid irrelevant, godless conversations and arguments. You find that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. So if a subject or activity is likely to produce division rather than harmony in the body of Christ, we would do well to avoid it and commit it to God in prayer. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. This is what we need to do about this message. So put away all malice, hatred, and all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. Put it away from the body of Christ. Speak evil of no one. Titus chapter 3, verse 2. Speak evil of no one to avoid contention or quarrels, to be gentle and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Now, in closing, the best way to avoid being a sower of dissension is to adopt the mind of Christ. When we do so, we develop an attitude of humility and service toward others. With Christ as our focus, we will look to the interests of others rather than our interests, and we will therefore be protectors rather than destroyers of unity in the body of Christ. Now, if you could pause for a second, think about this message as scathing as it may be. What is God saying to you personally? This is not for your neighbor or your aunt back home. This is for you. What is God saying to you? Just pick one or two things that God is saying to you. And what do you think God wants you to do about that? Go ahead and do what God is dropping in your heart right now about this message. Pray about it. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Some of you have to go to someone and apologize for what you didn't say and what you said. That was disseminating division and conflict in the body of Christ. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we thank you for speaking to us this morning. Holy Spirit, we pray that you may drive this word to our hearts and convict us about what we need to do about this message in response. Help us not to be hearers only, but doers of the word, so that we may be sowers and people that plant seeds of righteousness and not dissension among the brethren. Our prayer is that you search and examine our hearts. If there is any wicked way that promotes disunity and dissension in the body of Christ, please forgive us and take it out of our hearts. Help us not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them to the glory of your great name. We give you honor and we give you praise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit go before each one of us as we part company. Because we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody in the house said amen. Praise the Lord.